held at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Ooga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 51 of Three in the Box, your bootleg Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Wednesday, November 12th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about the Wild road woes, preseason injury, and the Iowa moves. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And sitting next to me is Jive.
Hey, hey, hey.
And before we get into things, I'd just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Three in the Box. So what do you guys think about the new intro?
It's a sure win.
Oh, pretty fancy for 50 listeners.
Yeah, but not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. Credit goes to Justin Caesar. That's at PantsBoyUSA for that
lovely sample.
Lovely sample.
Rimshot always follows that guy everywhere he goes.
Yeah, pretty much. I think. So, we got a really odd podcast this week. We've got no guests in the studio. I think this is the first time in nearly a month, just the three of us here.
We're a little lonely.
Yeah, it is a little sad.
Yeah. It's all right. Got a little room to breathe now, at least.
Right. Yeah. We're not tripping over each other. And,
right.
Well,
with our fancy setup here.
We got a depressing week to talk about. Should we get to it?
Might as well get right into it and get it done with.
So the Wild losing streak continues. They lost all three games on the road by a combined score of 10-2. This brings the losing streak up to four games if you include that Pittsburgh game. And it puts the Wild at 500 on the season. New Jersey was, you know, after losing at Ottawa and Montreal, New Jersey was supposed to be the streak breaker. But we ended up helping them break their four-game losing streak. Can the Wild beat the only team with a power play as putrid as their own? Can they beat the Sabres tomorrow?
Well, if there's a lot of penalties in the game, it's going to be pretty low scoring. Either way. Unless there's a bunch of shorthanded goals.
Hey, you know, that's totally possible.
Yeah. You know, I certainly hope that the Wild can handle that one, but worse and weirder things have happened.
I mean, aside from that Pittsburgh game, they are doing pretty well at home on the season.
Right.
Granted, a lot of those wins were racked up with a healthy team, and we've got some key injuries right now.
We do. The power play putridness, though. Their PK has more goals than their power play. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's a sad state of affairs.
Do we have taps?
No, we don't. I don't think we're ready to stick a fork in the season yet, though, Mr. Kenny.
Well, unless some certain guy comes back or not, you know.
Yeah, so with that, we have some ups and downs. Parisi now has missed approximately 3.5 games going out middle of the Pittsburgh game. He's currently skating with normal practice jersey on and will hopefully be back for the game in Dallas on Saturday. Spurgeon, who's missed the last five, also has been skating with normal practice jersey. Could be back as soon as against Buffalo tomorrow, Thursday. And then other notable moves, the Wild called up Stu Bickel and Jordan Schrader up from the Baby Wild. So they definitely have felt the pressure as of late to get a W. How much impact will having Spurgeon back on the blue line be?
It's going to be huge. Prosser is not Spurgeon. Blum is not Spurgeon. Not having Spurgeon. Heck, even Brodin isn't Spurgeon. Brodin's good, but he's not a scoring. He's not a guy who's going to be racking up tons of points.
Yeah.
He doesn't go deep into the offensive zone.
Definitely. And I mean, basically, yeah, we've been missing depth at the defensive spot. I mean, We have some decent young talent, but I mean, you've seen Dumba and Foligno have, you know, they've tripped up a little. I mean, youngster mistakes, yeah. But that's where we need some more experience in there and a little bit more depth. So,
well, and Spurgeon was also one of the guys that was acting as a fourth forward when he was on the line. You know, we don't have anybody doing that right now, which I think is contributing to the shots under 30 per game department now.
Right. But is, you know, someone like Stu Bickel really going to help that out?
Well,
or is he just a muscle until Cook gets healthy, which sounds like he might be out for a while because he hasn't been skating at all with his quote-unquote lower body injury. So right.
I don't know how much. I mean, yeah, maybe just having some toughness there. But, you know, calling him up and hopefully Spurgeon coming back soon. The fact that Dumba was scratched against New Jersey, does this indicate that Dumba's days in the NHL this season might be numbered?
You know, maybe not this season, but you have to imagine that he might be visiting Des Moines real soon.
Yeah.
Because there's no sense in having him sit in the press box.
Well, that's exactly it. And even playing, you know, third defensive line minutes, I mean, you would probably be better off getting him some more experience and practice down playing with the Iowa Wild as opposed to being up here playing limited minutes.
Especially considering we don't really have the depth at D.
Right.
And Iowa's struggling so miserably.
Yeah.
You know, maybe having someone like him, a younger kid that wants to get out of, you know, wants to be a star in the NHL, maybe that's what he needs is just to be pushed a little bit because he hasn't been pushed a whole lot this year, you know.
So now the big question, how much impact will Parise coming back in reuniting not just the first line but, you know, potentially the second and third and possibly gaining some of that chemistry back between all three of those lines?
See, this is where I worry because, you know, I look at the team right now, and Pominville, I think he's struggling terribly, but I don't know that Parise's presence is going to fix that, because he's missing backdoor open nets.
Was that on the power play last night?
I think so, yeah.
But, again, we came up against a brick wall goalie too, though, right?
Every goalie we face is a brick wall goalie.
Yeah. Yeah,
so at what point is it the goalies or is it
Schneider? Schneider basically had a highlight reel all into himself after last night.
I mean, two goals in three games. I mean,
that's not good.
No, it's not. And you know, you had Anderson and then Price. I mean, they're all good goalies. Don't get me wrong, but we have to score more than two goals in three games. Otherwise, you know, we stand no chance of surviving in this cutthroat division.
Agreed. Also, if you bring back somebody like Parise, who's, you know, more of a leader on the team, it helps just having that presence on the ice as well. You know, that on the ice, and even, you know, when you're sitting on the bench waiting for your next shift. I mean, those leaders will step up at that point, and you know, rally the troops.
Well, and that's the thing is Parise's not afraid to get in those dirty spots and get under the skin of the other team.
Right.
You saw a little bit of Coyle last night getting frustrated, and he also made some really stupid penalties like the high stick, you know. So you want to see them get a little fired up, but you want to make sure that when they're getting fired up, they're not making stupid plays.
You know, with Parise just getting down there and getting dirty, though, that's also wearing down the other team's defense, which is going to open up more offensive shots.
Right.
You know, pepper the goalie more. One of them's going to go in eventually, you would hope. Garbage goal or not.
Right. And yeah, I mean, heck, you look at, like you mentioned, under 30 shots in the game. We came close to being outshot in a game. Against Montreal, I think we both had 31 shots on goal. Otherwise, we've handily led in every game. And even last night against New Jersey, for a good portion of the game, New Jersey had more shots than the Wild.
Right.
not that obviously not that shots equals wins, but you know, what is the saying? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and
right.
And we've seen a shoot less wild before, and it's boring.
Very true. I mean, so, you like to see chances on the net, but you know, also I still see him getting pretty cute with the puck a lot. You know, sometimes I think that you throw the thing on net and you create chances that way. They like to, you know, play around the edges and work for that nice cross ice pass. But sometimes just throwing it at the net, the goal.
But you need a guy by the goalie to jam it in or get that rebound.
And right. But
we haven't, don't really
our,
have that.
Our one goal last night happened. Now it was a turnover
right.
in the zone. But what did Ryan Carter do? He just threw the puck back at the net, you know?
Yeah.
And what happens? It bounces in.
But before that, he pressured the goalie as well. He was putting pressure on them defensively.
Right. Yeah.
To force the turnover, yeah. And then they're basically out of position on top of that.
Right.
So that's a way. It wasn't one of those pure just throw it at him and hope for a rebound. It was a desperation because he's going to go into the boards kind of a deal.
Right.
But I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think yep. For a majority of those, throw it at the goalie and hope for a rebound and try to work it that way. We need guys that are going to park their butts in front of the goalie.
Exactly.
And be a distraction. And
right.
We don't have much of that right now.
You know, Niederreiter and Coyle should be those guys, but they're not doing it.
Right. We need our guys to get a little bit physical, not as in like throwing punches physical. We need to get physical and stand our ground, you know?
Right. Take some rapid cross checks to the back.
Right.
Because you're being in a spot they don't want you.
Yep.
You know, and
if they're hitting you like that and they're annoying you like that, you're in the right spot.
Right. Yeah. Know? No doubt.
Apparently, was it Brodziak that ended up in the net?
Right. You know, Brodziak was. There was a bit of a breakaway, and he was trying to make something happen, but, you know, he ended up behind.
He's taking that to the extreme.
Yeah, it ended up in the net. The puck was not in the net, but he's trying to dish it in like a sailor.
So if the goalie won't let you out, is that interference? Because he was kind of being held in there.
Goalie interference on the goalie.
Right.
Yeah.
By the goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be interesting. Well, what would have happened had he scored and actually pulled the puck in?
Well, if you're inside the net, you're technically not in the crease.
Right.
Right?
And as long as he's not touching the goalie,
yeah,
you know.
That's going to be kind of hard to pull that stick around without causing some sort of goalie interference, though.
I want to see this happen sometime.
On a technicality.
I'm going to have to do some research and bring this back up next week and find out how that actually works if you're trapped in the net by the goalie.
What if you, okay, humor me for a second. If you're an aspiring GM, what happens if you get a team of midgets and you get them to go kind of like line up and go into the net of the goalie, like sneak behind him, and he had like three midgets in the net?
Where are you going with this?
This might be a valid tactic to score some goals for the Wild.
1920s call. they want their short person exploitation back again.
Sounds like you're getting ready for a Jackass show or something.
Let's get Wee Man.
Right.
Sign him to a contract.
Yeah.
Can't be any worse than Brodziak, right?
Right.
Probably, well, you know.
Well.
He can probably take better hits.
Probably.
Man. Now you got me thinking. I mean, they got a low center of gravity.
It'd be hard to take down.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of, you know, speed they can get skating.
But think about like the between the leg plays, you know.
You know, I bet there'd be a lot of 5-on-4 and 5-on-3 hockey from all the high sticks.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. Wow.
All right.
You wouldn't have to worry about them getting a high stick. I mean, dude, they could literally play with the stick up in the air.
Right.
Hockey fans are special.
So,
on that note,
I think we're special.
since we're talking about goalies here, on Thursday, Backstrom, he gave up 3 goals on 17 shots, a couple of which were really weak shots at that. Then on Monday, we got word that Harding was skating, taking shots. And it was going to meet the team in New Jersey. So, Backstrom on the season has a lowly 86.9 save percentage. With Harding's return imminent, I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a rehab stint in Iowa that'll delay any potential return, probably a few games. Is Backstrom playing for his career, or is his early season slump just a case of lack of playing time?
I think that his chance to play for his career is actually past. To me, it's pretty evident that his career is on a downhill slope. What I foresee happening is once Harding is healthy here and comes back to play, we'll see Backstrom probably moving to the scratch, healthy scratch, or
get a couple games as a healthy scratch.
Yeah,
as long as the Wild can handle using up a scratch spot
for
on
him. Right. So
I think it's got to be messing with his head big time. I mean, you go from the number one goalie and all of a sudden you got some kid taking your spot that you're playing backup to, potentially thinking the only reason you're playing backup to him right now is because the other goalie broke his foot, or he broke his foot. Or whatever, one of the two. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't foresee him coming out snapping out of this anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, it's writing on the wall. And we've seen this type of play from him last year. And then, it was blamed on injuries and maybe not being at 100% health. But
yeah, now he's healthy and he's even worse.
Right. It continues on, right? So... that doesn't take away from Backstrom. He's had a great career. He hasn't been, a horrible goalie. I mean, obviously that's why he got signed to the contract that he did. But, unfortunately, we can't all play forever.
So, Backstrom's at 190 career wins.
Right.
Does he get to 200?
That's going to require him starting at least 10 more games this season, or I suppose next season's a possibility.
Well, I mean, let's say the Wild cut him and Harding's back and he gets healthy scratch for a few games, then we realize we need that extra space. You get someone like Anaheim who's got Rolison as an emergency backup. Who's to say that Backstrom couldn't go somewhere like that in a backup situation?
There's definitely other places that he could be.
Right.
And that's the thing, is he would need a team that, that needs that, older veteran, somebody who can come in and play in net. You don't expect spectacular things, but you expect them to hold their own. Because, you can't say that Backstrom hasn't held his own in net. I do, when he does play in net, it seems that sometimes maybe he doesn't get the same play from the from his teammates in front of him.
The Finnish conspiracy theory.
All right. So, that's to be said, too. I mean, sometimes players play differently for different people, and it's...
Well, here's the only way I foresee him getting 200 wins is his next start or two, no matter when they are, how far apart they're spaced, he's got to just be phenomenally, he's got to play phenomenally and just be on top of his game. Otherwise, he's not going to be getting the starts. He's got to prove himself there. And then I think slowly start getting more games just to start resting the number one goalie. But the way he's been playing, I don't see Yo putting him in other than when he absolutely has to right now.
And we're here talking that Backstrom has to prove himself. I do know a goalie who's working his way back now, but I'm pretty sure he's going to have to be able to step up and prove himself, prove that his, you know, MS isn't going to affect his play throughout the season.
Right.
And, I mean, we still don't – yes, he's been in practice, but we still don't know, you know, what level he's performing at now, you know.
Well, and we haven't even discussed the possibility that, you know, Wild could still play it safe, considering their history of goalie injuries, and send Kemper down to the AHL, who just lost John Curry to injury, and they're now hurting for goalie.
Well,
I don't think it's likely, but, you know, at this point, you never know. I mean, the Wild are losing regardless of whether or not Kemper's starting and playing well.
Yeah.
There's a problem with Iowa right now, and Jive, do you want to kind of kick that off?
Sure, we can talk about that. The head coach of the Iowa Wild actually was let go on Sunday. Kurt Kleinendorst, he has been relieved of his duties.
You're out of here.
Yeah, he's out of there. And they actually replaced him with the former coach of the Houston Arrows, Don Turchetti. And, I mean, basically, I don't know. There's an article that Russo wrote about it, and then he did also a Q&A session with Kleinendorst. And in there, Kleinendorst kind of made note that he wasn't really surprised with the move. He,
right.
You know, he knew that the writing was kind of on the wall, the way that the team was performing. And, I mean, he even expressed his own frustration that, you know, it just didn't work. And, I mean, with his history in previous coaching positions, that it had never been that way for him, but he expressed how, you know, it just didn't seem to work and didn't seem to click for the players for him. But, I mean, he did make the note and said that now they can see that, because he knows John Turchetti is a good friend of his, he yep. said, and he respects him well as a coach and thinks that he's going to be a good fit there for this. And they're going to find out if it was either, you know, the guy behind the bench or if it's the talent that Mr. Fletcher is bringing in.
Yeah, and I thought his one quote from the Q&A was, not every team is the right fit for every coach and vice versa. This group, I think they need 90% jerk. Maybe that's what they deserve and that's what he's going to give them.
Yeah,
I don't know that. I know. I don't think his intention was to slam the team,
right?
But that hell, that sounds like a hell of a slam on that team.
You know, if you got a bunch of young guys and you know who maybe are a little bit hard headed and you know still need to kind of learn the ropes and they aren't really willing to learn the ropes, and you know if you're more of a passive type coach and you're not pushing the envelope every day with them, and just more of a manager who, you know, manages situations as they come.
Right.
You know, I could see you getting pushed over there and having things kind of the wheels fall off for
and,
you.
And you do have a lot of players in Iowa that are older.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys that were drafted really high, probably coming in with a lot of promise, and they haven't been able to turn that promise into production in the American League.
Yep.
And, you know, there could be some entitlement there where they think they deserve a shot.
Right.
And, you know, they're probably disagreeing with how much the coach is playing them. And then you got younger guys who just want to play, but they're going to learn from these other guys who were just in their shoes just a couple years ago. He did also say in the Q&A that, you know, coaching in the AHL is like the hardest job.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of guys that don't want to be there.
They don't want to be there. You got a lot of guys that think that they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Maybe have bigger heads than their spot.
Well, you got to figure a lot of these young guys, they've always been the best players on their team.
Right.
They're finally getting to a level where
it evens out.
It evens out. And yep. Maybe they don't have realistic expectations.
So Kleinendorf, he takes the fall here for the floundering Iowa team. They've only won one home game this year, by the way.
Makes the problems with the R Wild not so bad, huh?
Not too shabby, right? So can we put all the onus on Coach Kleinendorf? Or, I mean, is there a problem with the talent that we do have down there in Iowa?
Well, you can put so much on the coach, obviously, if he's running the wrong drills. This goes back to the whole discussion when Bruce Bordier was let go from Washington when he was having issues with Semin and Ovechkin and the Russians in general. If the kids aren't responding to what the coach is trying to preach, you got a problem there in general. And you can't go fire an entire team. It's a lot easier to fire one guy and get somebody that they will respond to.
Yeah.
It's too bad for the coach because he was a winning coach. He actually beat the Houston Arrows in the Calder Cup final.
Beat Yo.
Yeah, he beat Yo in the Calder Cup final when he was, I forget what team, Birmingham maybe?
I think you might be right on that.
Birmingham, sounds right, yep.
But, so obviously he knows how to win. He knows how to control a team, but it doesn't necessarily mean with the group of guys he has that is the right way to go.
Yeah. Well, I know our Twitter feed got in an argument with someone else about how Yo ought to be fired for this or that. I think in particular for not benching Vanek or Koivu, which is ridiculous in itself. But I think all too often coaches are given way too much credit for a winning team and way too much blame for a losing team.
Agreed.
They're not the ones skating out there. How many shifts did Yo skate last night? Right. Zero.
Right.
And they still lost. With that being said, a coach can be, toxic for the team. I think we saw that when Todd Richards was head coach. He didn't gel with our team. I get that. Is that the case with Kleinendorf? I don't know. I don't think Iowa Wild is a particularly talented team. You've got a few kids that have talent there, but there's a lot of AHL riffraff,
right? That have just been there,
or draft picks that just have not developed into anything worthwhile,
and that's where they're going to be.
they're going to be salty, and they probably they're coming to terms with that their hockey career is as a at best replacement player.
So that kind of begs the question. You're talking about sending Harding down to Iowa to get some practice in before coming up. How good is that going to do him if he's playing in front of a team that just doesn't care?
It's awesome. He'll get lots of shots taken out of him.
Exactly.
What about for Dumba getting moved down? Is that going to help his development, or is it just going to cripple it?
Well, it's normal for kids to get sent down to the AHL. It happened to Granlin. It happened to Zucker. It happened to Halla. It's happened to just about all the players on our team currently. It's realistic. And maybe that would be detrimental to him. I don't know. But if you got a realistic idea in your brain, that if you don't play well, there's a chance you might get sent down. I mean, it's just a reality of the game.
Even if you are playing well. There's a good chance you can get sent down, especially being, like you say, a younger player on the team.
Well, then, he'd be lucky that he's being sent down for his play, because it's within the control of the team. They could send him down for money reasons to delay paying him more. So, being that is merit based would be a merit. Based decision, demotion, it's hard to fault the team a whole lot if you're being logical about it. Yeah. Unfortunately, these are not logical things. There's a lot of passion involved, and there's a lot of emotional tie-ins there, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, leadership.
Speaking of leadership.
The big slump and lack of leadership on the ice has seemed to come up with Parise out of the lineup. You know, part of this is a lack of the up front presence that we kind of touched on earlier.
Right.
But is Parise the true leader of this team? I mean, Koivu does a great job of leading by example when he's pissed off, but Parise is digging in the entire time he's on the ice. You think he's the one that deserves a C?
I would say yes. He's the face of the team.
Yep.
At this point in the game,
Koivu's not anymore. I mean, let's.
Koivu is not.
I think Koivu gets a bad rap by a lot of people. That being said,
I don't think it's undeserved bad rap. But
well, I mean, is he overpaid by the team? Maybe.
Yeah.
But is he a bad player? I don't think he is.
No, he's a decent player. Maybe given a little too much credit.
But he was a decent player on a bad team, and that left, much like Clutterbuck, who was a decent player on a crappy team, he was elevated to a status that, you know, on a normal team, he probably wouldn't have obtained.
He'd be average.
He'd be very average.
He's basically very average right now.
Right. And that's on the Islanders.
Yeah. But then you take a look at Suter, and it's just Suter's attitude. He's a laid-back guy.
Right.
He gets, you know, a little competitive, you know. Obviously, you're not going to be playing a sport like hockey if you don't have any competitive fire in you.
Right.
But really,
Tucker, you know. Competitive violent. That's just, why you're here.
You know, he just kind of goes with the flow, it seems, kind of. He'd be like that laid-back pushover parent that you have that – the one that you go to make sure you could, you know,
but he also
do what you want.
He also kind of, even though, I agree, he's not the fire in the belly kind of leader.
Yeah,
he's the quarterback of this team. You know, he's leading almost all the rushes out of our defensive zone.
Yeah.
I to me, that's a leader in itself. Yeah. Because he's got to have vision on the ice. So I have no problem. I mean, honestly, if you said Parise or Suter as captain, I'd be like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, Koivu, not so much. You know.
Yeah.
He does like to argue with the refs. You know, so you do get to see that a little bit.
When it gets heated, yeah.
You know, he usually just doesn't just sit there and go, okay.
Yeah.
Skate away.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's a good point, though. That, you know, Parise is out, and the Wild lose a whole string of games.
Kind of shows you, shows you his worth,
right?
Even though he doesn't have the numbers necessarily up there, the team in general does seem like they're not playing nearly as solid, and the numbers aren't nearly as high without him there.
When he went out, he was our scoring leader, wasn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Is he still our scoring leader? I'm not sure. But
probably, because we only got two goals.
Right. So the odds are good.
He's been passed by no one.
I think Zucker was probably the closest behind him.
Vanek was. Yeah. For all the heat Vanek gets, but he's got like a zillion assists and only one goal. And,
yeah.
You know, we all talked about, you know, we bringing in Vanek for goals. And
right.
He's given us one goal.
Yeah.
Parise still leads the team with 10 points. So.
And I don't know. I think it's easy to get down on a team when they're riding a slump like this. But I still think that there's, you know, a lot of promise for this season come up here. We got to get some guys healthy here. If we can get some guys healthy and get another good stretch of games going on, I mean, we can turn this ship right back around quick. I mean, we're still, probably not looking to, like, blow the doors off of any teams in the NHL right now. But I think that we can definitely be that very competitive team that, you know, teams aren't going to just take as a pushover team to play.
Right.
You know?
But I know we talked about it last week, but this team isn't deep enough. So right. We do have to stay healthy. Otherwise, we this last week has shown us how things can fall apart when we're not healthy.
Right. But at the beginning of the year, I mean, we felt so good. Oh. We felt like we were getting production from
we're
all
on top
lines.
Of the world.
Right. We were getting production from all the lines. And, you know, yeah, like you say, you lose a couple of key players. And, yeah, that goes to show you where your depth is and where all your development is, you know.
It's like, I don't remember, I think it was, would have been like 3 years ago. We were leading the league on December 1st. I think it was Yo's first season. And then Koivu went down.
And it was just a big collapse.
It was the biggest collapse in possibly league history.
Because they didn't even make playoffs that year.
Nope, it was the first time that a team leading on December 1st, leading the league on December 1st, had not made the playoffs. So that shows you, we've had a depth problem for a long time. And how a key injury, even if it's just Koivu, can really derail the team.
So if we do continue to have problems throughout the season, would you see it being Yo who's on the hot seat or maybe Fletcher for not providing enough depth?
Well, you know, you got to figure Yo's going to be in there at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you really do.
Yo's going to go before Fletcher.
Probably.
What if the whole situation down in Iowa doesn't pan out down there either?
Right,
and we find out like
who feeds that team,
like Clydesdale, right? Like what Clydesdale said, we'll find out if it was the guy behind the bench or if it was the players. And what if we find out that it had nothing to do with the guy behind the bench? You know,
right?
Who's to take the fall for all this?
Well, and since we're talking about behind the bench, you know, I know we talked on it last week, but the Wild. They continue to struggle to convert on the power play. They're now worse in the league with just 2 power play goals on 44 chances. And as Kenny alluded to, the Wild have more shorthanded goals, 3, than power play goals with just 2. given that last year the Wild were at best league average on the power play, do you think that Andrew Brunette's days as a power play coach are numbered? If we're talking about scapegoats, that seems like one that's a bright red, you know, beacon.
It is sitting there, but you can't. In this situation, I mean, you've seen the power play working. It's not like the power play is playing in their own end.
Oh, I think it has been though.
As of late, maybe, but starting off,
we had a few games where I can't remember which game it was, but our first power play, we were cycling. We looked awesome, and then the next 3 power plays in that same game, we're in the defensive zone almost the whole time.
Yeah, but
it's wildly inconsistent.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, and
I think that they're still getting their share of chances. Every power play isn't going to yield 10 shots.
Sure.
Every power play isn't going to yield 5 shots. If you can get, one or 2 good chances when you're on the power play, that's what you should be expecting.
Yep.
And it's just none of those seem to be landing in the back of the net. If we keep coming up against our brick walls.
Well, and I guess you can't put a lot of fault on the power play that can't score when they can't even score in
regular,
right.
Regulation.
If they're scoring at a 2% rate at 5-on-5, how can we expect them to score at a 20% rate on, power play?
Right.
Yeah, I would put Burnett first on the chopping block right now.
I mean, I don't know that he'll get fired because there's
do some management movement.
He'll get shoved into a scouting role or something like that.
But, I would say if not by the beginning of December, if not by the end of this year, end of 2014, if something hasn't improved, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a new power play coach.
I mean, yeah, they're under 5% conversion rate on the power play.
That's pretty bad.
It's like 4.2%.
Maybe the Wild could get them to implement a rule like in football. where you can decline a penalty, right? No, we'll just stay even strength. Right?
No, one of our guys will actually go into the box. Yeah. Shorthanded.
Right.
Yeah, I was looking it up last night, and I think the Wild would have to score on like their next 8 power plays to come in to become even league average.
When you put that was before they had, I think, 2 more power plays.
Right.
So it may be up to the next 9 now.
Right. So they're in a world of hurt, and they need to score a lot of goals in the power play even to get to league average right now.
Well, speaking of being able to score some power play goals, I think we kind of mentioned it earlier. Maybe we can get some power play action going on against one of the league's best teams, right?
Right.
Right.
Buffalo last in the league, and they were last in power play, but now we pass them.
Yeah, so
it could be a very terrible game or a very great game. I can't tell.
Well, and that's the thing is I honestly think the upcoming game against Buffalo is huge.
That's got to be our streak breaker, right?
Right. Something's got to turn us around here and get things heading back in the right direction, bring some, you know, life back to the locker room, I'm sure, because after you start to lose so many in a row, you kind of lose your luster. It's great when it's winning. It's easy to be you know, fun-loving guy, and it's easy for us to pat our team on the back then. But,
right.
I mean, you see how quickly fans can turn, especially in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We deal with so much weather here, we're just fair weather.
I don't know that there's a single sport in Minnesota that isn't loaded with fair weather fans.
Yep.
I think it's just, I don't know if it's just we're so accustomed to losing as a people.
It gets tiresome.
It does. And so it's easy to go, I'm done with them. I'm done.
It's also really easy to jump on the bandwagon when one team's doing really well.
I remember that one season I followed the Timberwolves. It was kind of fun, actually.
Really?
Yeah, that one season.
Their one successful season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's when they still had Sprewell. Before he had to feed his kids or whatever.
Before he made his rims? Or was that after his rims? Did he already have his rims?
I don't know. I think
spinners?
I think he still had his boat, though.
Yeah.
And he was sailing around Lake Michigan, knocking up chicks or something like that.
So besides Buffalo, though, this week, we've also got the Stars and the Jets. So a couple of... couple of good games here that are coming up, obviously. I mean, I never shy away from a Stars matchup. It's not necessarily a rivalry, but
considering where the Avs are now, I'm wondering about that rivalry. I know they'll still be salty about Matt Cook and all, but their team sucks this year.
Yeah.
We got blown out last night.
That was a nice 6-0.
6-0 against the Islanders. So Colorado's in a hurt, so maybe Stars have to be our rivalry.
Well, Winnipeg's not too far either, though.
They aren't, and they're actually doing really well
this
year.
They're doing very well, yeah. So that said, should we get into the game of the week?
Let's do it. So last week's game of the week was last night's game. Well, the Devils, all of us picked the Wild, so we're all losers along with the Wild.
Hey.
Yeah, I won't even bother saying what our goal total predictions were.
Nobody gained any points.
Because no one gained any points. That means Kenny's still in last place. That means he gets to pick the game of the week yet again.
Yeah, okay, we're gonna try to do this a little bit better this time. I'm going to take the Jets at the Wild. Jets here at XL with a total of 4 goals.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
And, you know, I got to hope we can win at home. I'm hoping our team will be healthier at that point. I also am going to go with the Wild. I'm going to go with 5 total goals. I'm guessing a 3-2 game. And that's what I'm going to go with.
Well, you know... like I said last week, I tried to go with the Wild since I had went against them every week, and they ended up proving me right. So I figured if I picked the Wild last week, they'd win.
And that didn't work out so well for you.
That didn't work out so well. But I'm really, really confident that things are going to get turned around here. So I'm still going to go with the Wild this week. And I got to say, I'm not expecting a ton of goals. Obviously, we're having a little problem putting points on the board. But we do have decent goaltending going on. So I'm going to have to agree with you, Aaron. We're probably going to see like a 3-2 game, 3-1 game. But, yeah, I'm going to go with that 5-goal marker as well. I think that's what we'll hang with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we've exhausted this thing.
Exhausted it, burnt the wick.
I'm spent. So when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the box, and that's at 3 in the box on Twitter, you can find me, my personal Twitter, at AaronGNP. And blatant plug for my band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny, what do you got to say?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, mainly retweeting about live audio and random stupid stuff.
Jive.
Yeah, and you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. And you can also catch me hanging out with these guys, plotting the next way to conquer the world.
And again, you can get our podcast, and that's 3inthebox.com. You can find us on iTunes. We actually installed that and actually got ourselves in the podcast directory. Just got to search for 3inthebox, and you can get us if you're somehow got pointed to us from some other sources.
We love iTunes.
We love iTunes, especially Kenny. So with that, I think before we get ourselves in trouble, we'll call this a show. Thank you and good night.